Good evening, I'm Melissa Idris.
And I'm Sharad Kutin.
And this is Consider This. Tonight we are recalibrating Malaysia Baru. Joining us on the show, we have Dato' Zaid Ibrahim, former minister in the Prime Minister's Department for Legal Affairs back in 2008. Welcome to the show, Zaid.
Thank you.
So, as I mentioned, we're taking stock of where we are as a country, the leadership of Pakatan Harapan. And I want to get a sense from you whether you think we are, as a country, moving forward, stagnating or sliding back. What do you think?
Well, we are, I think, an underperformer, an underachiever. And starkly, I think, it's quite obvious. You just look around you, countries that are much poorer than us have gone miles ahead. And so we have to recognize the fact that we need a booster in the leadership of the country. And what we see today is unfortunately, regrettably, not good enough. Mm. Not good enough. And even for Pakatan, as an avowed follower, a supporter of Pakatan, I think if they're not careful, it'll be a one-term government.
I wanted to ask you about, I mean, and maybe this is a more historical and broader question, is that countries in the region, you know, have had their great moments. Burma was a sterling example within the region, the Philippines in the 50s and 60s, and now they've become the region's basket case, and they have been for decades now. The question of what will prevent a nation from sliding back? I mean, what actually goes into the mix, do you think, that allows a country to take stock and move forward, or just allow themselves to decline?
I think it's leadership. I think only good leaders can move the country, can move the people and change people. I mean, like I said, 80 years ago, China was in the midst of huge famine, civil war, Vietnam was bombed to bits by the Americans only 50 years ago. Today they have such a powerful economy. China is the second largest economy. It has to be leadership. It has to be. Singapore, I think, although people may not like me to praise Singapore, Singapore is it's just across the border. A country, a state, a nation state with nothing. It's a lot richer than us and has got high standards in most things. So what I'm saying is, let's recognize where we are and not be living in sort of a delusion that we can get there just by not working for it, by not changing things, you know?
Okay, coming back to leadership. So you said a little bit earlier that we need a bit of a booster in terms of leadership. What is your assessment of the Pakatan Harapan government's performance under the leadership with Mahathir at the helm?
Well, I think they're trying their best, maybe. But I also get a sense that they don't know what they're doing. And that's understandable because Pakatan is a hodgepodge of groups that got together, had a 300-page manifesto that promised the world, and people were very upset with Najib. So they got where they are. But that's to win election. But to govern is a different ball game. And I think Pakatan can do with additional good people inside. And this is where I find it amazing that Anwar Ibrahim is left out of that administration, of that government, because I think he could make the Pakatan stronger, surely. I remember in the days when Tun Dr. Mahathir had to compete with the likes of Tunku Razali and Musa Hitam, he found Anwar useful to him. You know, Anwar was helping him around, mopping up the enemies, as it were, and getting him to where he could then focus on running the country right then. And of course, Dr. Mahathir had no such competitor now. So he may not need anyone. But the country needs Anwar, and Pakatan needs Anwar. Because I think Pakatan without Anwar will be much weaker.
And I wonder if we could sort of get more granular on this, because it's often, you know, we characterize our leaders, right? So they all have good qualities and they all have their weaknesses. Mate has his broader visions, he's obstinate, if you like, he's willful and he knows what he wants and he goes and gets it and he's unafraid. But he's also divisive. And he's a man not given to compromise. Whereas an Anwar is often seen as somebody that complements Amathe in that his ability to forge consensus, he's the guy who goes and, you know, puts balm on the hurt or deals with, as it were, maybe a lack of discipline. I mean, he's the man who can help make the political vision work on the ground. That complementarity seems to be missing today. As you say, maybe an inclusion of Anna, but also could it be found in other you know, members of the current cabinet to do what Mahathir cannot do or not willing to do?
I think, I mean, I know there are a lot of stories about somebody else can take over from Mahathir besides Anwar. I think that's a recipe for disaster as far as Pakatan is concerned. And I think, and that's what UMNO and APAS are looking forward to, a breakup in Pakatan. So whether Mahathir-Anwar combination is 100% or 50% or 70%, we have no choice. We have to make it work. And I think the earlier we realize that, and I would like to see, since the Prime Minister said that this reshuffle of the cabinet will be imminent, I just hope that Anwar will be invited in at an appropriate place. And Anwar too shouldn't say, I don't want to serve the cabinet, because it is not a personal thing. Mm. It's about the country.
It's kind of like a cowboy film
scenario. Yeah,
this town
off,
is not big enough for the both of us.
You can't. Anwar cannot say that. He has to say, I will serve this country. And I think the earlier Mahathir and Anwar realized that UMNO is actually very strong. And the new team of PAS and if you want to win the next election, you have to set aside your ego, your differences, your misgivings. You have to decide to be together and make this government work.
Zai,
this is what I think must happen.
Why do you think Anwar currently has remained outside of government? Why?
I don't know. I don't want to speculate. But obviously some people don't like him. And I think, or distrust him, or whatever it is. But I hope we set aside that. See, this country is more important than that. And no one is bigger than this, you know. So we should accept the reality that politics in this country has changed. People expect good things from their leaders. People expect smart things. People expect performance. And if you promise them, especially like we did in the, like the manifesto, we did so many things, it's about time we deliver them. And if you can't, you need good leaders to explain why you can't. But at the moment, it is it's a kind of a neither here nor there leadership, the way I look at it. And that is why, by-election after by-election after by-election, you see the opposition getting stronger and stronger and stronger. And you cannot, after every defeat, say, oh, that's peculiar to that scenario. No. You must say, the storm is coming. That's what a responsible must say. And react to it.
All right, let's come back and continue this conversation in just a couple of minutes. Don't go anywhere. Stay with us on Consider This. Welcome back to Consider This. Melissa and Sharad on the show with you tonight. We're talking to Zaid Ibrahim, former minister. We're asking him to recalibrate Malaysia Baru. Now, a couple of things you said before the break struck me, and I'd like you to elaborate. You said politics has changed and people's expectations have changed, and now leaders need to better explain their decisions. So, three components there that I wanted to challenge. Has politics changed? How has people's expectation changed, and how has Pakatan Harapan failed in explaining their decision making? Can you attempt to go through all three, please?
Well, I think people the world over, I think people, the voters, have come out in droves, indicating their preferences, you know, one way or the other, whether it's Brexit, whether it's in America, and everywhere else. Mm. So the voters have changed, and they want whatever they want the leaders to deliver that.
But has politics in Malaysia changed? Have we moved away from race-based politics, from leadership politics, personality politics?
No, the politics is the same in that sense, because the leaders don't want to change the narrative, because people follow what the leaders say, generally. Mm. You know, so if the narrative remains the same, of course it will be the same. For example, if you tell the people that Malays and Malays and Muslims must be all together, the enemies are all of us, the people probably believe you. But it's not true that if you are together on that basis, you'll be strong. Like I said, the Arabs have been together for years, thousands of years, with the same language, same religion. They cannot even defend the West Bank. You cannot be strong just because you are of the same race. You cannot be smart just because you are of the same religion. So you have to change the narrative. Coming back to Pakatan, the problem, I think, is that they stood on the ground of reforms, change, the 50 years of UMNO Barisan rule, mm. good governance, rule of law, all the big words, environment. But they were not able to fulfill it because they probably didn't believe themselves. I mean, if you look at, for example, Sedition Act. You know, we have been fighting for this for so long, and we wanted to remove it because we wanted the people to be free to talk without fear. If the people don't talk freely and afraid, you cannot solve the problem of the people.
I wonder if this, and let me be provocative here, that the problem is Dr. Mahathir. He was late to the game. He didn't do 20 years of reformasi politics. You know, he, in fact, initially, if you remember, when he joined the Bersih protest, he said he didn't want to sign on to the platform of what Bersih stood for. I mean, he was very late in agreeing to the agenda. And just after the general election, he kind of poo-pahed the manifesto, saying, well, actually, we put it together in order to make trouble for the government of the day, the Barisan Nasional. I mean, he was a man who's not sounded like he was committed to it. Difficulties aside, he wasn't really committed to it.
I don't think he was born a liberal, a Democrat, you know.
And he's certainly not involved into one either.
Yeah, but I think he did what he could do. I mean, in the sense of the fact that he joined us, I think it's already a plus. But we cannot stop there. We cannot let him set the narrative. The Pakatan leaders, the other parties, the so-called original group, must be able to stand up and say we want this change. And not cosmetic change, real change.
Mm. But
why are they standing up to Mahathir? Why does it seem they're subservient?
Because
to him?
I suppose the leaders are all in the cabinet. And sometimes when you're in the cabinet, you don't want to stand up too much because you might be asked to leave. And, you know, it's nice to be a minister, you know.
So well, you know, because you were white.
No, I was only for a while, but there are a lot of things that is nice about being a minister. So sometimes it's difficult to balance, you know, your willingness to stand up for what you believe in and what is what Mahathir wants. I mean, for example, Linnas.
Yes.
And then there's a new contract in rare earth in Perak. I mean, those days we were totally against this because it's against the environment. The Kiara Rimba, we would not have even given a second thought to this idea of development there. But suddenly, it becomes attractive again. Because some people in Bersatu probably prefer, have a positive thing about Linnas for whatever reason. But the general trust of the people, actually, they want a cleaner environment, they want a safer environment, they want cleaner government. So leaders must be able to meet those expectations, in my view. And if you can't, then you lose your credibility.
Well, Zaid, you wrote a very interesting piece recently about calling for a unity government, saying that it's time for a unity government. Can you explain what you mean by that? Why did you write that the country needs a unity government that's willing to share power?
Well, I wrote that in exasperation more than anything else. Mainly, what I see today is that people are playing these musical chairs in politics, maybe to isolate Anwar or maybe to prop up somebody else. I mean, these are not good motives. These are very disruptive in politics. Mm. So when I say unity, it's not unity against someone else. I think if you are more united, you get the better pool of ministers and you have less politicking. When you have less politicking, less shouting in parliament, less of this, then you will have more time to work. Because we have miles and miles to go. We are far behind others.
I want to ask you about that. It seems to me that part of the problem with the with comparing Malaysia to Singapore is that the complete dominance of a single party over Singapore's politics and the ability for the party to insulate itself from public pressures, one, and then therefore develop a technocratic elite to run the country. Mm. Now, Malaysia is much more democratic and the cabinet reflects the composition of the coalition as much as it does competence, like much more about the composition of the coalition than it does about competence. How do we solve that problem? We're democratic, and I think we want to be democratic, but that leaves us with...
Germany is the most powerful economy in Europe. And Germany has got so many parties. Germany has got, in Bavaria, there's one group that controls it, up the north, you can name it. And yet, they are able to get the best people because they are more mature in their politics, they are more knowledgeable, they form coalitions before the election, and then they decide to form the government together amongst those who agree on big principles. Mm. You know, there are countries that have got many, many political parties. There's no excuse. It's more difficult, perhaps. Even in China, a monolithic communist party has a way of, you know, they have a way of getting the top leaders, the right leaders, to go to the top. I mean, Deng Xiaoping and Lee Kuan Yew, I mean, both great leaders for their respective countries, they were all those autocratic. They were able to get through young, talented leaders to the top.
And the Malaysian case is that we are rewarded with cabinet positions?
We are rewarded for loyalty.
Okay.
We are rewarded for being... Don't raise difficult questions. We have a totally different value system, and that's why it makes me exasperated. That's why I said, why don't then we just want have one party made up of so many, and then we just get the best people to run the country? Because at the moment we're not getting there. You know, I mean, if you look at our shared prosperity vision, we're supposed to solve the problems of poverty. We're supposed to solve the problems of in 10 years. We couldn't solve it in 30 years. So when people talk about that, when ministers talk about that, it doesn't make sense. You know, when we talk about other things of reform, the other day, the Minister of Education, I think, gave a reply. Why is it that we cannot get UEC approved? You know, the certificate exam, comments for Chinese independent school? And the reply came, oh, we have to have a task force. We spend probably a lot of money. And then we have to see whether it violates the federal constitution or whether it violates the social contract, whatever that means. My question to you is this. We have allowed vernacular schools for the last 50 years. We have funded them. Every election we give them money. And then when they are ready to enter the university, we say, no, no, no.
We don't recognize it.
It violates the social contract. It violates the federal constitution. It violates everything. What does it show? It does show that we are not thinking straight. It's not fair to the student. If they have the competency and the ability tested by other bodies, independent bodies, then their right to the public institution and university should be as a matter of right. But we cannot make that decision because we don't think straight.
All right, well, more with former Minister Zaid Ibrahim coming up on Consider This, Don't Go Anywhere. We'll be right back. Thanks for staying with us on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kutan. We're talking to Zaid Ibrahim, former minister. Now, just before the break, you talked a little bit about the failure of us, our failure to think straight. Could you elaborate on what you mean by that? How did we get to this point?
Yeah, before I want to interject, because yes. I think what you touch on is so important. There is a kind of, and let's bring Singapore back into the picture, that they claim pragmatism as a central operating principle, right? The world changes, you have to change with it. Facts on the ground change, you identify and you work with those facts. Pragmatism, as opposed to this kind of ideological, but kind of not emotional.
Pandering
to trolls, whatever it is, kind of strategy of making policy.
No, I think the not thinking straight is is because they are either they are cowards or they are not. They're not being pragmatic, actually. There's some fear somewhere based on some ideology or some ideas of the past. I'll give you an example of the Jinping ashes, for example. You see, when Jinping wanted to come back, we said no. There was an agreement, you know, signed between Jinping and our government that he could come back. He couldn't come back because he didn't have an IC.
We violated our own agreement.
He had no IC because when you're a communist in the jungle, you had no IC. We don't have an IC even in the estates today. So for us to expect him to have an IC, but he was able to produce kins, relatives, people in Setiawan or whatever. He said no. So when you violate your own agreement, you are being dishonorable. And then, suddenly, many years later, the relative said, I want to bring back the ashes because he wanted to come back. He wanted to die in his motherland. Okay, we may not think that he's a good guy. He's probably very brutal, very cruel. But that's the past. We cannot get away from the past. It cannot be our feelings against communism because we were very forgiving to Rashid Maidin and other Malay communists of those times. We are very very nice to Zeping now. He's a communist. If you're talking about brutalities of Jinping, the Japanese kill more people, were more brutal. But because the Japanese are rich and because we need the samurai bond, we are very nice. We don't feel angry with the Japanese. I mean, let's think straight. Jinping is a Malaysian.
So
he's dead. He cannot do much more damage.
Your argument of using this case, of this is an example of not thinking straight, is an example of what? Pandering to popular opinion?
We must move on from the past.
Okay.
We cannot go on saying the Chinese are like this because in those days, they came here, they were not originally from here. You know, people talk about the past.
Right.
We have to move out of
that. We're kind of stuck in
that. And that's when you have to think straight. We cannot make this country strong if we keep stuck in the history, stuck in the false narrative of the past. And this is why I feel the leader's responsibility to open up the people.
I want to ask you, you use that expression, and this was with regard to the PH government, they don't see the storm coming. Do you think Malaysians as a whole don't see the storm coming? There are so many reasons to be fearful of a world changing rapidly.
Of course.
And we're already seeing the downside. Malaysians are working illegally in Australia. They're working illegally in South Korea. They are becoming what they used to despise.
I am sure one day, if we don't change, we'll be working in Bangladesh. Because the rate of the growth in Bangladesh economy now is much, much faster than us. So we're going to reverse this in no time. So what I'm trying to say is that whilst we have it, we have to hold this country dear, and we must do whatever is necessary to keep our people prosperous and happy and together. And we must discard all those thinking of the past.
When you say we, you are referring to the people of Malaysia the government?
I'm talking about the leaders.
Oh, the leaders of Malaysia. Okay.
So the government.
To really have their priorities right when it comes to this.
Because you look at the Chinese, for example. Before this transformation by the right, they had wrong leaders. They were poor. Mm. But when they had the right leaders, they're prosperous. The same thing with Vietnam. But the same thing with India or whatever country, you know. You look at Rwanda. Rwanda is the fastest growing economy in Africa. And yet, only not so long ago, they killed each other. There was civil war. There was genocide. So we have to decide what we want to be. And I know it's the end. When I say we, I'm talking about Pakatan, really, because I hope they get their act together. Dr. Mahathir must invite Anwar into the government. Anwar needs a bit of time to weather the political storm from Barisan, from UMNO. And I think the longer we dilly-dally, the longer we talk about Anwar taking over to the foreign press rather than to the local press, the less we do of that and get on with it, then we will have a very much tougher time to change and to continue with the reform.
All right, on that note, thank you so much for being on the show today. That was Zaid Ibrahim, former law minister, on Consider This. I'm Melissa Idris, with me Sharad Kut, and we are signing off for tonight. Catch us same time tomorrow night. Thank you for watching and good night.